The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Don't you ever touch me!
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Roberts, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It is 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and a bunch of my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your host, as always, Tony. Joining with me today is...
Rob.
Brian.
And that's all, folks.
No Joe's allowed.
No, Joe is away on assignment, but he will be back with us next week.
We just made him leave because he was too smelly.
He's out in the field.
It's already like 1,000 degrees in here.
A field.
Yes. Literally out in a field to get all the gases out.
We cannot disclose the name of the field we dumped him in. But we gave him a compass.
We're told that he can use his keen sense of smell to find his way back.
He can follow the North Star.
What the worst part about it is he's alone in a tent with brick.
All right, now trying to shake that horrible image out of my head, it's time to get ready for the ultimate challenge, because today we watched Best of the Best 2 from 1993.
Yeah, you almost said 80-something.
Yeah, I sure did.
It's an 80s movie.
Well, like, the first movie came out in 89, so...
Yeah, but this does feel so 80s, except for that one scene of the kid on the bike.
Well, it's just his outfit that's 80s, really.
But this is directed by Robert Radler, who brought us the Best of the Best 1, Showdown, and Substitute 3, Winner Takes All.
Substitute 3?
Yeah, the Substitute. I feel
like we should be watching his movies.
We should watch at least Substitute 1 and 2.
His other directorial credits include Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and Police Academy, the series, as well as VIP.
Oh, we should definitely watch this shit.
We should watch VIP.
Yeah. That's Pam Anderson, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Main character is Tommy Lee, so I mean, it makes sense. Yes. It's connected, right?
It's all connected.
All you hep cats out there.
I'm not going to lie. I watched VIP when it came out. I did. I'm sure I did that.
Well,
I did that.
Parts of it.
Yeah. Put it on mute. For a few moments. Yeah.
All right. So, this is Best of the Best 2. Not VIP. What is your personal history with this, Rob?
I don't think I have any history with this. No, definitely not. Like, I was 13 when this came out. No, I never saw this movie before.
Okay. Brian?
I've seen this movie, like, a few times, but I don't remember it. But I know I've seen it on USA, because USA played everything. But yeah, I remember seeing it, like, I can't recall what happened in it, which I think I blocked it out, which makes sense after watching it today. But yeah, I definitely did see this. I remember the first one. I remember way more, and I really enjoyed watching the first one. And I know it was garbage, but like it was a martial arts tournament movie. Like that was my shit. Like if it was on, I was watching it. If someone was throwing kicks, I was all about it. Like I didn't even fuck. Like,
but again, it's a martial arts tournament movie based around the main character that's not that great at martial arts.
Was he even the main character?
No, it's well, they're main characters, not yeah, a main character. Yes. They're main characters. Even the first one are main characters.
Yeah, that's actually good, though. Yeah. I mean,
that's
a strength that this movie has, I think.
Yeah, okay, we'll get there. I remember seeing this once or twice. It didn't have that big of an impact on me. It wasn't good enough to be like a Van Damme or Seagal movie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Didn't hit those dizzying heights. So.
No. I didn't meet some Brimley in this shit. If he had played the Native American grandmother, that would have been amazing.
Action stars, Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, Brimley.
Damn right. That's how it goes in this household. All right, so that's our history with this movie. Let's get into a very brief history of this movie itself, because I could not find much of anything. No one had anything to say about it.
They made a movie. People liked it mostly, so they made another movie.
Yeah, well, apparently Eric Roberts felt that this was this movie was to compensate for the original movie.
Oh?
This was, I guess, said to be the better version.
Okay, I haven't seen the first movie, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. The movie was had many direct-to-video sequels that followed it. I think four.
Four of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't see the other ones. I saw the first two.
That's okay.
And, of course, as we'll I kind of mentioned while watching this, this movie had a wonderful appearance by the wonderful man, Kane Hodder.
Which was wonderful.
Who was in the first one, this one, and the third one, I believe, playing the same character. But he's also better known for playing Jason in several Friday the 13th movies.
Who was he in this movie?
The dude that got his hands stabbed with the pencil.
Oh, the door guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was that door sweet man. Mullet?
Yeah. Yeah, got that sweet mullet.
Yeah, there were a lot of sweet mullets in this movie.
It was before WWE Kane days, so he was rocking that sweet, sweet mullet. All right. So, anyone want to guess at how much this movie cost to make?
Go ahead, Rob.
I don't know. They had a lot of... There was kind of a lot of pyrotechnics in this film.
The sparks from the last battle.
I'm going to say $40 million.
I'm going $10 million.
Yeah, you're probably way closer. Yeah, I don't know what I was
dollars,
thinking.
Some buffet vouchers, and a Wayne Newton performance in Vegas.
And a ham sandwich for Tubbs.
Which Tubbs?
Rest in peace, Tubbs. Brian is way closer, but still overshot. It was $7 million.
$7 million.
Anyone want to guess how much this movie made?
They returned those vouchers because the place closed down that they were for.
There were vouchers for the Coliseum.
All right. $15 million.
I'm going $10 million still.
You both way overshot. It made a whopping $6
million. Oh, no.
Yeah, this was a bomb. Bomb diggity.
Bombed my heart.
All right, but where'd that money go, Rob?
Well, we have a wide cast of characters in this film, including Eric Roberts as the main character?
Question mark? Well, he's the one that actually, like, kind of has, sort of has more of the story.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, this movie story focuses on his character.
Yes.
But the movie
the actual story arc
itself like, follows...
Tommy Lee. Yeah.
I don't want to call him Tommy Lee.
They're hetero life mates, like Jane Salabon.
Yeah, for real.
They might be. I'm pretty sure Meg Foster only showed up just so they could be like, no homo, dude.
But opposite Eric Roberts is Philip Rhee as Tommy Lee, the other
main
this movie.
Actually fight.
Yes, we have Chris Penn, as Travis Brickley. The short-lived third main character?
Yeah. No, all right. Wasn't he in a Van Damme movie?
Maybe. Probably.
He might have. He's certainly been in other things.
Like a buddy of Van Damme in like Kickboxer or Bloodsport? Like...
No, he was a different big chunky guy.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But not the same one. Yeah, I mean, that's... Usually these guys kind of just rotate between like the same kind of movies, so it's very
Chris Ben's a pretty big dude.
They all look alike. You can say it, Rob. You can say it. It's okay.
What chunky kung fu guys? They do. I guess yeah.
Well, this one didn't have a ponytail though.
That's true. Right. Or a mustache.
Right. Oh. You mean a porn stash?
We have Eden Gross as Walter Grady, the we'll just call him the disappointment of the film. We have Rolf Moeller as Brachus, the lead bad guy in the film. We have the third time on our podcast, Meg Foster.
Is this third?
She was Evelyn. She was in They Live.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Was she in anything else?
No.
Welcome back, Meg Foster.
Yay! Joining the Pantheon.
Their zombie eyes.
Oh, so creepy.
And another returning character, Sonny Landham, as James. Just James. No Giant Peach.
Rob, who the fuck is James?
Listen, he played Billy. Billy ain't afraid of no man. something out there, Dutch, and it ain't no man. Yeah, so he was Billy in Predator. He looks really different in this movie.
Yeah.
And finally, we have Wayne Newton as Weldon, which is the dumbest name I could ever imagine. But
Weldon Newton.
And that's the news, and I am out of here. So that's all the characters in the film that are worth talking about.
Yeah.
All
right. Even some of those weren't.
Yeah, they were really worth talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So we start out with this movie by watching the first one.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, the first few minutes is a long montage.
Is that really what happened? Because, like, I don't remember any of the, like, the opening credits.
The opening credits is the last 4 minutes of the movie.
Really?
Is the opening, like legit? They took clips from the last fight series because it was a tournament. So it's each guy's fight in the tournament. They put clips from their name popped up.
Oh. What was I doing when this was going on?
Crying, I think.
Probably.
You were actually attempting notes at that point.
I think.
Okay. Might have been.
I was trying to remember where to find a Bezor. See, we open with the first movie.
We get a newspaper clipping showing that the three friends have opened a dojo.
I do remember that part.
Yeah.
Where apparently Eric Roberts' kid is going to be taking classes. That's all you really need to know there.
Need that. Like.
Well, I mean,
it'll be important in a moment.
It's good to set up the context.
But is it?
Yeah, because it's one of the funniest parts of the movie.
Sure is.
All right.
Besides all the limb breaking.
No, I mean, like, but is that whole scene even necessary? Like, it's not necessary.
Oh, to have in the beginning? Yeah. Showing you?
Well,
I mean, they still had the name credits going over that part.
All right.
So,
the whole story arc just doesn't even need to be in the movie.
There's so much in here that doesn't need to be in here. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I think just showing the news, it's only a couple of seconds. They didn't really need to have the whole. Well, did he have a kid in the first movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys already knew who this kid is.
I'm not sure if it's the same actor, but
but you got the idea. You knew like what was going on.
I think that, you know, the kid had even less of a part in the first one, if I remember.
But I mean, we don't really start with the kid, right? We start with showing.
We go into the dance club, where we see this is Terminator.
We see this Terminator named Brackus walk in, and he owns the place.
This guy, Count Dolph.
He legit is like, if you took Dolph Lundgren and Arnold Schwarzenegger and mashed them together,
you get.
And like the part that sloughed off.
Remember in Rocky,
like whichever one couldn't handle the mass of the other and just fell off like a snakeskin? What if you inflated him? If you filled him with intestines?
You remember in Rocky when they were doing all those experiments on him? Dolph Lundgren, I mean. They took a little bit of his DNA and it grew into this guy. That's what happened.
All right, so
he shows up at the club. We see he doesn't like guns.
He's very anti-gun, and they make a big point of it, but it never comes up again.
I mean, it kind of does.
Does it?
Because the whole last part of the movie wouldn't happen if any guards had guns. If one guard had a gun, the rest of that wouldn't happen.
No, a couple of the guys had guns.
Nope,
not
one. The whole end of the movie.
Not in the actual building.
Not in the building.
Yeah,
okay.
One of the building had a gun.
All right. But everyone else around him at all times is just packing heat. All right. Well,
I will have something to say about that later as well. But we see Wayne Newton is kind of being the ringmaster here. And he's introducing Chris Penn into the ring, or as I refer to him, Tubbs.
And as Wayne Newton refers to him as penis cat shit.
I think he says that for real, like legit. Dude, penis cat shit.
So yeah, there's a line. I think he says he's mean as cat shit, but it sounds like he says penis cat shit.
And like, because it shows his mouth.
Yeah.
And even though you can't tell if he said or put, like you can't tell. Like,
you can't tell if mean is coming out of his mouth or if penis is coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, you just can't tell.
But I think one is a bit more easier to swallow, shall we say?
I mean, penis cat shit or meanest cat shit? I mean, either way, you're swallowing cat shit.
Tony.
Like,
Tony, which one of those two things is easier for you to swallow? take all the time you need.
Take all the time you need.
Listen, I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. Right?
Pieces of shit?
No. So anyway, Chris Penn is fighting with this dude. He kicks his butt, surprisingly, somehow. Actually defeats this dude, and he's talking some shit afterwards, and he's like, you know what? I know I'm supposed to fight, like, two other guys before I get a shot at Dolph here, but how about we just cut the bullshit and I take him on?
And it works! Like, how the fuck did it even work? Like,
Because he's throwing shade right at him.
I guess.
In front of his girls.
The whole premise of this tournament is you fight three rounds. Mm-hmm. If you win all three rounds, you get to fight the owner of the place, who's also the grand champion, and if you win, you get to own the club.
Yeah, but this guy came in dressed like Mario from the Mario movie.
Pretty much.
So that automatically raises him. He's like Mario and... There's like a mix between Mario and Ryu, so it's like Ma-Ryu.
Ryo.
I'm sure that has been done already. If not in one of the actual games, I know someone's drawing
on DeviantArt, probably.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he's probably doing things to Luigi we don't want to know about. But anyway.
Easier to swallow.
So, yeah, he just talks some crap, and the dude's like, all right, fine. He wants to fight me so bad, we'll make that happen. This is when we get to the little boys, or I think first we see them camping. Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
So the little boy is taking
black belt time.
Yeah, he's trying to get his black belt. He's got to perform the ceremony first, which I also like because the way they cut it, I totally thought that Chris Penn was just going to have to like fight this dude with a bunch of children. Like, I wasn't sure what was happening, but I just saw Chris Penn running in there, beating the shit out of some kids. That would have been awesome, but no. So the kid does a little ceremony, and they first got to turn in their paperwork, I guess, and then they got to do some jumps and some kicks, and then break a board.
Break a board and a brick.
And a brick.
And a brick.
And a brick.
So it shows all these kids get up, do their moves, break their boards, and slam their bricks in half, and then little Walter gets up, breaks his board, and then totally bricks it.
Yep.
He shatters every single bone in his hand on this brick.
Sure does.
And just his, like, the only thing that breaks is his soul.
Yeah. I mean, and his dad's heart, too. Like.
Yeah, and his dad's will. You just see him in the background just ripping it in half.
But I do appreciate, like, because you... Like, you have to actually test to get it. So, like, even though his dad owns the dojo, he's like, if you don't do this, you cannot pass. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Dad. Like, thanks for reminding
me. Not only that, but it's implied that this is not his first time trying. Yeah.
Now, like, I'm not going to say it's exactly as good as the wheelchair scene from Mac and Me.
Yeah, it was amazing.
But because I'm apparently an awful human being.
Oh no, this is funny.
It was up there.
It was hilarious.
Because he tries a couple times until literally you could see like his hand just is too sore and broken for him to continue. His
fingers are backwards. Yeah. Like at every time it cuts to the girls sitting there.
Just
like,
didn't
it? Oh my god, please stop.
Well, yeah, it would just cut to the audience and a bunch of people just like, oh, God, oh, that's terrible.
The brick represents his virginity.
I wonder if they give him, like, a real brick and all the other kids had like foam ones or pre-cut ones.
He
had,
probably.
Like, oh, probably.
He was really smashed his hand on the damn brick.
They put a piece of rebar in it.
Yeah. I was like, fuck your head.
Yeah. Hey, look at that, you little bitch.
So we cut to, I'm going to assume it was Pizza Hut afterwards, with a big congratulations, except for Walter, sign on the wall.
I think if you look close in the background, someone did write a little except for Walter on the bottom of this thing.
So they're all there at dinner, like the whole class is there to celebrate everyone except Walter getting their black belt.
At which point, I'm already like, Dad, why are we going? Just take me home.
It's in school.
Take me home.
Yeah. And I know we're focusing a lot on this, but the rest of the movie is just nonsense violence, so hopefully we'll be able to skip through
there. It's another 20 minutes of more of this bullshit. Then it's not
enough. Right, but we're not going to talk about all around. That. Yeah, we'll start speeding along pretty soon.
So, but this is funny.
Yeah, well, because first the Tommy Lee there, one of the other teachers, is doing his little thing. He's like, I want to thank everyone who won their belt today. And those that are going to get it eventually. Like, just like, and that would have been enough. But apparently not for Eric Roberts. He gets up there.
Kid's dead. The kid's dead. Yeah, what's his name? I forgot his fucking name.
Alex.
Alex?
Grady. Alex Grady.
Yeah, they never say his name like the whole movie.
No.
No. Because he's not that important.
Like, legit, I think they never say his name.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like Clint Eastwood. He doesn't need a name.
I guess. Yeah.
So what does he have to say for himself, guys?
He's like, hey, kid, I know you failed today, but your mom's also dead. So there's that, I guess. It's like, listen, I know you failed today, but you taught me something that could soothe over the immense disappointment I have in you ever since your mom died. And I hear you crying yourself to sleep every single night. I know you taught me about perseverance, the perseverance I will feel when I go home tonight and drown myself in a bottle of Jim Beam and try to talk myself out of going into your room and just beating you. You horrible little crap.
It was honestly, it was just you made me so proud on how you could deal with your disappointment that it was able to give me the courage to get past my disappointment in you. Because yeah. I haven't felt this bad since your mom died.
And then that pretty much is it.
And then, like, he ends it with, like, you're the man now, dog.
Yeah, go get him, kiddo.
Like this. Oh. I'd have been so embarrassed.
Best luck next summer.
Oh, man.
And if you pause it, you can actually see the point where his heart is snaps in two.
I was waiting for him to just start, like, reading out of the kid's diary about the girl in his class that he likes. I know you were going to ask Susie out to prom, but I'm thinking today might not be the day, son.
Are you all enjoying your deep dish meat lovers pizzas? I'd like to read to you about Walter's first erection.
So
now we cut to Chubby Ninja. What's his name? Brandy? Walter? Travis? Travis.
Oh, yeah. Well, first, the kid's like, I need to prove myself, so I'm not getting a babysitter. So instead, I guess Travis has to watch him, or I don't know, whatever. But Travis shows up and he's like, listen, kid, I can't take you bowling. And he's like, well, I don't have a babysitter, so you have to take me wherever you're going. And he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go beat the shit out of a dude. So come along. This will be great. So they go to the Coliseum. He gets led in the back. The kid's hanging out in the rafters.
Yeah, you know.
Because, like, you know, that's where kids belong.
Where kids go, yeah.
That's the safest spot for a kid in this fighting arena. This
underground fighting arena.
Yeah, drinking club.
Well, I mean, if Jason Voorhees is watching the door, they're probably pretty lax on the rules here.
No, this is true. So anyway, him and Travis, and Discount Dolph.
Brackus. What's funny is, like, in my head I keep hearing B.A. Brackus. Well, like, that's a different person altogether.
Oh, yeah. His name is Brackus, and every time Jimmy said his name, or James said his name, he said Brackus.
Brackus, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. You're thinking the wrong character, buddy.
It should have been Mr. T in this. It should have been.
This dude came in a helicopter. B.A. Brackus is afraid to fly. That's a continuity error.
No, it's gonna drug him so he passes out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he looked like he was on.
Well, I love cupcakes. Let me eat one of these.
You feed him, like, Toka and Rezar. He's giving donuts with little ice cubes in them.
I get on a plane.
Yum, yum. I'm pretty.
Every time he fell for it, I'm like, come on, man. Why do you do it to you every time?
What are you, Crab and Goyle? Great. Anyway.
Sorry.
So the point here is, Super Shredder takes on Chris Penn and breaks his back or snaps his neck. Whatever, he straight up kills him.
Like, it's no contest.
No, it's ridiculous.
It is no contest. He straight up, he punches his punch, like, whatever, dude, you ain't shit.
Yeah. And even changed his outfit. He changed from Ryu to Ken for this fight. He was wearing a little red jumper, and he was doing his little Mario Ken. Because he was Mario and Ken at the same time.
He originally was Mario from the movies. Now he had this fire flower.
Well, yeah, he went from Mario to Mario Ken.
Mario Ken.
That was his finishing move. But apparently, he never got to do it.
No. He kept trying to do the back button and like the half spin, but it just ended up being a block. It was terrible.
So, yeah, Brackus just beats the crap out of this dude. And the crowd is going nuts.
Yeah, big shit.
You can choose. Will he live or will he die?
There's some gross people in this crowd.
There sure are.
There's this one dude who is like really excited about people dying. He looks like... I wrote down that he was Oswald Cobblepot Sr. He just looks like he could be like 100 pounds away from being the Penguin.
Well, he's like a bulldog. He's all happy and his jowls are flapping around and he's drooling everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just gross.
So the crowd decides that, you know, he's going to die.
Oh, yeah. Thumbs down. And,
he gets his neck snapped pretty bad.
Sure does. And the kid just starts freaking the fuck out. He's like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. So we get Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Kid edition.
/ Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Nickelodeon Films presents.
Which is the lovely little cameo of some dude off the street.
What did he say? Do you need a ride or like?
So
what's creepy. Yeah? What's wrong, kid? Need a ride?
Do you like puppies?
Want to get in my van?
Do you want to see what's under my coat?
I broke my arm. Can you help me get in this couch in a van?
So how does the kid get home? I don't even remember.
He walks.
Apparently. He just walks home?
He just leaves. He walks. We don't see. He doesn't even. I don't even think he gets home. He gets to his. Is it home?
He was at home. He went with Travis. So then he went to someone else's house. Maybe yeah. Susan's house.
Or? He went to some cabin. Yeah, where Susan and his dad and Tommy and some other person.
So that's not his house?
No.
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Because the whole time I was like, wait, if they're all home, why did he need a sitter in the first place?
No, yes. He went to someone else's house.
Because yeah. Dad and
that or his dad got home and was just like, I don't know where the kid is, but fuck it.
Well, yeah, his father and Deadeyes were just like dancing. It's like, oh, I need a sitter for that. Come on. Come on.
I think they were trying to get something going with Tommy. All three-way
action. I guess. So he's like, Porkins is dead. Watched him die. He broke his neck.
Yep. They try and take him back, but everybody's just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Instead of calling the police.
Yep.
Because, I mean, the police.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess they had a throwaway line about how, oh, what are we going to call police and tell them our friend is missing? And I'm like, yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
If it's been more than 24 hours, it counts as missing persons.
Well, it hasn't yet, but
right, yeah, they could. But, you know.
Yeah. But they say they're going to go check things out. The club is like, it's just a dance club. You're out of your mind. I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, oh, I guess they're right. So we'll try and find him our own way, which means Alex, Eric Roberts, just goes home and like pisses and moans for a while Tommy goes searching around all of Vegas.
Yeah, like
by himself.
I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of shit in Vegas, like. You should be a private dick if you can like find a single person in Vegas within a matter of hours.
Like, yeah, like, oof.
Like, you're in the wrong job if you can pull that shit off.
So eventually, they do find Travis's body.
Yeah, the next day it shows up in a quarry somewhere.
It's like at Hoover Dam.
It is at the Hoover Dam, isn't it?
Yep.
Not only that, it was totally straight up playing the music from the movie Transformers from 2007 is totally playing the music from this movie in a lot of its like espionage scenes.
It's sad, but I think you are right.
Seriously, the whole that was totally from this movie, and it's totally in Transformers, and I'm calling shenanigans. But anyway.
Shenanigans to be had. Now the jig is up. They now know that Wayne Newton lied to them. Their buddy was there. He did die. This is all a bunch of BS. They faked his death and everything. So they're pissed off and they're looking for revenge. So they just kind of go back to this, whatever the Coliseum is.
Yeah, they just break in. Like, this building has worse security than, like, Rand Enterprises. They just wander in.
The worst security.
Well, they also have metal fingers attacking
it. Hold on.
It's got better martial arts.
Their security guards were pretty on point because they can fuck up the dude who beat a dragon with his bare hands and kick his ass like it wasn't shit. So that's pretty good security.
Well, that says more about the dude that beat up a dragon. I'm doing bunny ears. Beat up a dragon.
I so hope in season two we get the cutaway to the cave he goes in and it's just a pinata of a dragon. Like,
but that is neither here nor
anyway,
there.
Anyway, yeah.
Sorry.
Iron Jelly.
Yeah, they just bust into the Stock Exchange Club. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's part hotel, part dance club, part fight club.
Well, the fight club is underground. So that,
yeah, whatever.
It's in the back room.
Yeah. But they smash their way in. They start fucking things up. They get all up in Wayne Newton's face and they're like, I want to know who killed Travis. You got to tell me, blah, blah, blah. And I guess he just kind of, like, the spidey sense tingles or something. So he knows it's Discount Dolph and gets up in his face and he's like, yo, did you kill Travis? He's like, I mean, sure did.
I mean, dude had a smug-ass face on the whole time.
This is true.
Plus, he was using Travis's Mario costume as a napkin. Like, how he was dabbing his mouth with it.
But yeah, like, it's just, like, I don't understand. I mean, I know for the movie why it was done. But if you know someone who killed your friend and you need to go to the police, say some shit. If you're not going to go to the police, right, why are you not walking in strapped? Like, why are you not going in to fucking blow this dude's head off? If you, like, what are you going to do?
Because guns are not manly.
You killed my friend! You're a mean person! We're going to... I'm going to go home!
Well, yeah, here's the thing. At this point... Thank God for them that Discount Dolph just happens to have this gun rule, because if any of them had guns, they'd be dead right now.
Yeah.
The minute they smashed in there, like, they would have had 30 armed guards just take them out.
But it's a martial arts movie. Yes. They solve things with martial arts. You know, it's the same. Like, if any of the Power Ranger villains had guns, it'd be, you know.
Well, no, a lot of them, I think, did. They just usually hit the ground into big sparks.
The Shredder had a gun.
Really did.
Be like,
hey. So they'll bump heads in the shells, and then you couldn't hit them because the shells would bump the bullets.
Like. Just stick the barrel right into one of
the holes. Anyway, so Tommy gets a good kick on this dude and knocks him into his giant mirror, and he cuts his face. So we see he can, in fact, bleed.
It's the first time you see Brackus get hit. Like, and actually does something to him. Like, everything else he shrugged off, but this one, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's implied that this is the first time he's ever actually been damaged in any way.
Which doesn't make sense. Like, he can't have started his career, like, at the top, right?
I don't know.
Like, even in training, he never got hurt?
No, because he was birthed off of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, that's right. So he just came out like this. It was like, you know, he's molded from clay like a god.
I see.
Yeah, that's it.
From clay.
Well, excess body fat, maybe? I don't know.
No, that was Travis.
All right.
Molded from Play-Doh. So.
Squeezed out of Play-Doh Fun Factory.
So now, I keep looking over at the name list because none of these people have names and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So now Brackus puts out a hit, basically, on Travis, or not Travis, Alex and Tommy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want Tommy alive so I can beat him up myself. But Alex and his kid just kill him.
Yeah. They're witnesses. We need them gone.
He flat out says, just kill them.
Yep.
Remember, he flat out says, just kill them.
They can die.
He didn't say, make a big production out of it. He didn't say, give them the whole James Bond villain treatment.
Just kill them.
So
we see the kid's trying to get home from school. He's riding on his bike when suddenly there's a super sketchy looking car that's like, just like, hey, yo.
In all fairness, though, it is the 90s. And, like, you can show up to any old school and be whoever.
Yeah.
And no one can say shit to you, like.
Well, they weren't even really at the school. They were, like, in a parking lot somewhere off to the side. He'd gotten a little distance away,
maybe?
I think.
Maybe. It doesn't matter. Either way, like, as soon as this kid's, like, on the street, they're right behind him. They just kind of wait for him to go around a corner, and then they're like, we're going to just hit him now, right? Yeah, let's speed up and hit him. So they start going after him, but he takes a couple weird turns into...
The weirdest of turns.
And where does he end up? boys?
Area 51?
Area 51. There's literally a chain link fence that's wide open, yeah. First of all.
This is a sign next to it. Sign. No unauthorized vehicles allowed, but no guard or anything apparently. Cage could just come through on his bike.
A little yellow sign says Area 51.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if you have 50 plus areas and you have marked them with numbers, I mean, there's no copyright or trademark for Area 51. I mean, technically, it still doesn't exist. So,
yeah, like, true. But, all right, here's my thing.
I mean, what if, like the length of the area, of the length of the field and the width of the field multiplied out to 51, and they're just saying Area 51, like, it's just saying
what it is. This is what I'm saying.
How would they get an odd number?
Because you multiply, they round up. They round up.
So nearest integer. So, also, in Nevada?
Yeah, here's where your theory goes wrong. It seems to be at least an air force of some kind, or like.
Well, there are planes there.
Airplanes, certainly.
There are military planes there.
Yeah, it seems to be military based. That's debatable, but it's certainly like.
Military planes and school buses, yeah. So.
It's in Top Nevada secret. And called it Area 51, and you explicitly showed the sign. Like, that seems a bit much. If you're not trying to make a statement, like.
But, like, legit, Area 51 legit isn't doesn't exist. Like, I mean, like, that was a moniker people gave to the
area. I know.
But it's not, the actual place, it's called something else. Like, people called it, it's not, they wouldn't put on their field Area 51 because it doesn't exist. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. that doesn't disprove our argument.
Yeah.
All right.
You were talking about a $6 million kung fu movie.
No, $7 million. Only made $6 million.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, only made $6
million. Well, then it's only worth $6 So Area 51.
No, it's like it's like turning into my science project.
It's like floor 13 in elevators. You just don't name a floor 13. You just go straight to the 14th floor. You don't name your if you have an area and it's your 51st area, you call it like Field 51.
Yeah, that or, especially since it's in Nevada, if you're calling it Area 51, I need to see, like, some fake-ass alien set up. Like, this needs to be a show. This is an intentional thing. There's no way you're just accidentally calling some airfield Area 51 in Nevada.
It's a non-point, but I just don't understand why they decided to stick that sign on.
Yeah, it's just so weird.
I wonder if it was gonna be something bigger, and like they couldn't work it in the budget, or like the kid was gonna suddenly become the Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, this is where the kid finds the crystal skull. But no, he just ends up going home, and he's like, "Dad, no, seriously, let's call the cops now. I have a plate number. Can we do this?" And he's like, "I don't know, kid. Stakes aren't quite high enough yet." So the dudes bust in his door and start opening fire.
Like, immediately, kick door in, mm-hmm. Bullets firing. It's a gun. Well, it's a half gun battle. Only they have guns.
I like the, you know, in the Coliseum, there are no guns. But when you're going after a child, sure, just shoot them.
Yeah. I mean,
it's no honor. Whatever.
These are goons and not the main boss. But like, so Alex and Tommy, you know, they duck for cover and like next thing you know, they're fighting these guys off and shit like that. You know, they're taking guns away and like breaking arms and shit and it's fucking
Alex is like having a ball out brawl with this one dude in the kitchen while Tommy beats the ever living shit out of like five guys.
Tommy's a shit.
Because Tommy is way better.
Oh, yes. Tommy is clearly I'm less of an actor. I'm more of like a stunt guy or a martial artist or whatever. That's why I was brought into these films. Alex or Roberts is like, I look good with my shirt off and I know how to throw a punch, so.
Alex is like, I'm just gonna wait until I get salt pepper in my hair, and then I'm just gonna be the villain in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And get paid.
But like, so, they're fucking these dudes up, all of a sudden one comes in with a gun, he gets Tommy, like, the full drop on Tommy, just the full drop. Like, hey, freeze!
Right at the back of his head.
And I'm like, once you get Tommy set, you can shoot anyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, just fucking shoot.
Set the house on fire or whatever.
Yeah, like, but no. They don't.
Well, it's a classic thing. It's like, they just, at first, they're just firing wildly at everybody.
Right.
And then once they actually catch them, they're like, okay, well, I guess come with us. Let's make a big production out of it.
I also want to mention this is the first time we get to see Tommy's main moveset, which is he get the one guy gets the drop on him because he gets this one dude down. It's just beating his face in repeatedly. And then this once the guy has the gun on him and he like flips that around on him, he breaks his arm. And we see it.
Like, there's two special effects in the movie that I appreciate the most. And this arm break is one of them, yo. Like, it's straight up, like, it's so out of place that it's amazing.
Well, look, because this is totally that one thing, like, when we used to try and film movies, and I learned how to do that one special effect, like, fake or whatever. Like, you know, if you did a disappearing thing, so you just, like, stop the film for a moment and have that person run away and start the film. This is the one thing they knew how to do, so it just kept going back to that well.
It's awesome, though. It's
awesome. Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Breaks. Like in that fight, the end fight in It Man, where he's fighting all, like, 15 dudes,
mm-hmm.
that first guy, he snaps, like, oh, shit! Like, it's your whole mindset. It changes, like, that's what it did, like,
oh man.
But yeah, so like they get away.
Yeah, they get away. They need a place to lay low for a while, so let's go to grandma's house.
I hope we roll It Man next week.
Yeah,
let's watch that next week.
All right, so grandma's house. Let's talk about grandma's house.
I don't wanna. So
no one does.
Tommy Lee takes them to his.
Oh wait, he has to yell at his girlfriend first.
Oh yeah, so
randomly,
Alex shows up at his girlfriend's job. She's like a sportscaster.
Sportscaster, yeah.
And he's like, instead of me calling the police, I want you to go on your show, and instead of doing sports news, which is what they pay you to do, tell everyone that's watching that. Somebody nobody knows killed somebody else that nobody knows.
Just call out this dude for being a murderer without any evidence or anything.
He's like, dude, you sound crazy.
Yeah,
crazy call the town. Police. Just call the police.
Yeah.
Like, if you call the police and make a big thing of it, then yeah, maybe they'll talk about it on the news.
Yeah, we just got attacked.
Yeah. Like, it would be one thing if they were trying to imply that the whole police force was like in Brackus's pocket. Like, that would be a whole separate thing, but they don't say that at any point. At all.
Well, not only that, but he just says to her, like, I want you to call this dude out. He could have easily just been, hey, you know what? Fuck what the local sports team did. Get some people down to my house, because it just got raided by some dudes. Like, that would be something. You could do that.
But no, instead he's just like, I want you to talk about my problems on the air. You wouldn't let me read Walter's diary. You're not doing this. You hate me. I hate you. You're the worst.
We're done.
I hate you.
First, you wouldn't let me get on air and tell everyone how disappointed I was in my kid.
I'm going to go figure out what's up with Tommy's family. So he does.
Grandma's house. So Tommy takes him back home to wherever the hell that is.
In the middle of Nevada desert.
Yeah. We see that his grandma saying, you know, oh, it's so great that you're here because Johnny's here. Is Johnny?
James.
Jimmy? James. James here.
Because Tommy is a Native American?
Oh.
So, I guess. Yeah, he's Native American. Why not?
His family is.
Yeah. But James is here.
Who's James?
You know, James. James is here.
James, you know, James.
I know you don't get along well with James, but James, James is here. James is here, guys.
Dude,
James.
I was getting so mad watching this scene. Like, she keeps talking about James, and Eric Roberts is like, who's James? And Tommy's like, I don't like James. And I'm like, who's James? And Eric Roberts is like, who's James? And I'm getting ready to just break something. I'm like, just show us James.
He says it like 7 times.
So many times.
It's
and at the end of it, I still don't know who the hell James is.
Well,
Like, I've seen him. I know that he exists. I know he's a person. But what relation he has to Tommy or anyone else here, I have no idea.
Well, if you pay more attention, you might. But, no, but that's the thing. He's not only is he keep asking and not getting answered, which is kind of annoying, but he's also like asking like a child trying to get a question out of his parents when his parents are having a conversation. Like, just shut the fuck up for a minute. Let us finish what we're talking about and then we'll get into it. All right. Have some patience. You're an adult. But, turns out James is, I believe, his father.
See, you don't even know.
Yeah, you don't know. Because you bastards kept talking.
I know he's grandma's son, maybe.
Yes.
Or nephew.
He keeps calling her Ma, whereas Tommy keeps calling her Grandma, which implies that it is his mother or not.
Or uncle.
Could be his uncle.
It could be his uncle, but there's also a whole thing about, he said something about how his father left at some point, like something happened with his mother. I don't know, you guys were talking, I couldn't hear it all, but something about his mother left, and then he went off and started drinking. So he became a drunk, and he went on the road, and now he's back.
Because I firmly believe if he was his father, he would have called him dad at some point, even if it was like as he was dying.
Maybe.
Granted, I'm asking a lot of this.
Yeah, again,
$6 million.
Yeah,
I think that would have happened if the story were actually on him and not Eric Roberts. Alex.
It's not on either of them. It's half. It's like a quarter on Eric Roberts, quarter on Tommy Lee.
But that's what I'm saying.
And half on bullshit. Like,
I think what you meant to say was penis catching.
Penis catching. Yeah, sorry.
But I'm saying Alex has the drama half. And Tommy has the action half. And the action half doesn't have time for that kind of, like, calling him daddy bullshit.
Daddy.
Why is your daddy? Why is your daddy and what does he do?
I'm going to help you find your daddy.
But, so anyway, we find out he's a drunken mess. They get into a fight. They beat the shit out of him until he starts spitting up blood. And then he just starts throwing up. Everybody has a good laugh about it.
Just laugh at them.
Then I think Grandma has a little speech with him, and she's like, you need to fucking work your shit out and stop being such a mess.
She says, you've been shit. You have a chance to do some good. Fucking man up, do some good.
Yeah.
Stop being a little bitch. And he's like, all right, Ma.
Okay. I didn't know it was that easy.
Yeah.
Like, she should have done that years ago.
Legit, the next scene, he's like cleaned up. He seems sober.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh shit, that worked.
So
I mean, it's not very long lived, but still. No, like.
So at this point, we get 15 minutes of abs.
It's montage.
Yeah. Just abs.
It's a workout montage. Of which we don't see Walt doing any of this shit.
Because
that's annoying.
He's already proven he's incapable. Grandma has him feeding the chickens.
But that's the thing. I either want to see him, like, because again, we want to make this a movie where at the end he can get his black belt and he can like smash that board.
No,
he should. I know we don't, but we should. But this is how you make at least $7 million back.
You know what? They could have gotten my money, yeah. Which they didn't. If they just and. Honestly, it would have been better the way it is. It is better the way it is. Because if I knew that this kid would go through the whole movie without growing as a character at all, no, I would have been totally down.
But here's the thing. I'm saying we either need to have him training with his dad and getting better at this so he actually has some skill by the end of this. Or we need to see somewhere in the montage where the dad is like, you're a disappointment. Go sit in the corner while we work out.
They make him feed the chickens.
Yeah. Not even chase them.
Like, not even chicken chaser. Just go into
a small bin.
Chicken chaser. Throw
food.
Like, but this is goes to show how pointless the first part of the movie was.
Yes.
Because, like, there's no payoff from that at all. Nothing that happens in the first part of the movie, like,
nope.
Pays off. They should have started the movie with the tournament happening. Like, sorry, with Travis just dying. Like, it should have been, flashbacks to the first movie. Open, Travis getting punched in the face, neck broken. Then they start the movie from there.
Yeah. So to be fair, I would kind of like to see just the kid hit the brick and it not break, and then the credits roll. I would have been great with that. Or have that be an after the movie stinger. Save after the credits.
Yeah.
Credits roll. Shows the
honestly,
kid.
That should have been. We should have reprised it at the end. Like, after everything, Dad, I think I really got this. BAM!
Oh! Like, nobody says anything. He just hits it. It doesn't break. You see his eyes drop. And then the credits.
Yeah. No, you just... Yeah, the screen... It just fades to dark and you hear his lights soft come up. Burp.
No, no crying. I don't want to hear any crying. I just want to see his soul die.
Oh, man.
So... but yeah, all... Okay, actually, just jump back for a moment. It should have been, you get the newspaper article, they open a dojo, then it could have cut to, you know, this famous warrior is now fighting in the ring, that's when he dies. But if you want to include this whole thing with this kid, it also should have been like a, not, he can't break the brick in the tournament, it should have been like, he's not brave enough to like, jump through fire, something he would need to be brave for, because that's where we kind of go with this whole nonsense.
It's really like a Chekhov's gun situation. Like, they set it up that this kid needs to man up and do something, and at no point does he do it.
Well,
like,
I mean, he had courage in a kind of scene.
I guess.
Like, what would have made that scene better, right? Right, because this happens like next, but what would have made that better is if he had to punch through a brick.
Or he broke his arm. Or if he punched his arm and broke it, like broke the bone, like, you
that
know?
That would have been the payoff. Like,
yeah.
So we'll get there. Let's touch briefly on the Sweat Lodge.
Ugh. I don't want to touch that.
So they're all
it's like in here right now, but still.
Like, yeah, they're all doing like on a peyote trip in a sweat lodge, and it's gross.
They sure are.
They're all Abby. And then we get the courage. Now's the courage talk. Grandma's talking to Walter.
Yeah, they had that flashback, that vision.
Again, what was all that about Tommy? Because Tommy's having this weird vision about getting the ever loving shit kicked out of him by Dolph.
This is like, Tommy's partner now.
Stop calling him Dolph. That's so confusing. Dolph Lundgren is not in this movie.
Brackus.
His
Brackus.
Stunt double might be.
This guy probably.
Don't judge me!
Arnold's stunt double and something.
He could be.
He legit could be.
Dolph Lundgren probably doesn't use a stunt double.
Yeah, you're right.
He's probably like, hit me with the car, I will break the car.
So, yeah, we have this weird vision quest in this tent because Native American. Yeah.
World Order of Loose Knuckle.
Yeah. the weirdest part of that is it's only Tommy having the vision, but the vision is just him getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
It's not like showing him how he can overcome it. It's just like him getting his ass kicked. And he's not even dressed the same way that he is in the final scene when he actually faces Brackus. He's like wearing this black like.
He's wearing suit. What he was wearing like a minute or two ago in the training montage. Well,
in all fairness, maybe this is why, in the last scene when he's about to fight the big bad guy, they throw him outfits and they go put one of these on. And he doesn't because his flashback is wearing a dumbass outfit.
He was like, that's the butterfly effect right there.
If
that's
I wear this outfit, I will lose.
I look like fucking Travis, looking like a fucking Ken Ryu, Mario looking whatever, dumb fuck. So I'm not going to put that shit on, and then it won't die.
That's why he also doesn't go to the free buffet before the fight.
I told the voucher expired because the place goes down.
I wish he had, though, because then I could officially call this a Smash Brothers movie.
Yeah, it's Vegas. There's always a free buffet.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
So
what he does do is he finds James. James is now all like straight and narrow, and he's like, hey, I'm going to teach you how to hit something with a pole, because that's going to be important later, because remember how I told you I got into a car accident? It wasn't a car accident. It was this dude, Brackus, and he kicked my ass and whatever. So
yeah, James was badass at some point. I mean,
yeah.
What? Yeah, in Predator.
Yeah.
Which he has a scar still.
Yeah. That's why he's living so close to Area 51. He's in witness protection
now. Oh, man.
Just waiting for a Predator to show up again.
Yeah. Waiting for Will Smith to pull up with a Predator in the back of his truck. Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth, bitch.
Oh, Predator would kill Will Smith 1,000 times.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so now we're all just kind of taking a nap in the same bed or something. What is happening here?
I mean, random guy shows up with guns. Yeah. Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah. And I wrote down, who is this guy? Like, I don't...
Just guys. Up. They're goons. They're just random goons. They show up. Alex is in bed. They catch him off guard. Everybody's just kind of in that room. They got guns on them. So, like, I guess you're coming with us now. Which starts to work. Like, it should just be it. They should just... shoot Alex, the kid, the grandmother, whoever else, and take Tommy with them and go.
Like they were told to do?
Yes.
Like they were legit told to do. Like, it should have been like, Tommy wakes up, everyone around him is dead.
Yeah.
He's by himself. Like, yep. What the fuck just happened? Right.
Shoot everyone. Then set the house on fire to destroy the bodies and the evidence.
Yeah. Yep. Instead, they're pissing around for some goddamn reason.
They piss around for a long time because they wake him up in bed, and by the time they're outside with James, it's daylight.
Yes.
It's like noon.
But yeah, James shows up and he's got a gun. He's like, fuck, this shit's on. Everybody down. Starts firing.
Yeah, lever action rifle.
So silly. He kills
1820s.
Like. Yeah, he kills one dude and then like 20 guys just gun him down.
But he's badass because like,
oh yeah,
they blow his fingers off on one hand, right?
Yes, yeah. They do.
He gets shot like 15 hand. Times. He's holding a gun,
mm-hmm.
right? They show him again. Now he's holding a knife out of nowhere. This knife, yeah. Knife powers out of nowhere.
Well, he's Native American.
And he's part Highlander. So. Like, pull this right out of my ass.
Knife in hand, and he stabs a guy in the heart and then dies.
He probably didn't die. Because he survived. He survived the Predator. He could probably survive this.
You're right.
He did survive. That's why that other dude shows up to put two in his head.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He does get a double
braids.
Top. Oh, that was ridiculous.
It was so harsh.
So unnecessary.
Like, they actually shot a dummy head. so you saw like bits fly out.
Yeah, they straight up, they put a wig on like a cantaloupe and shot it twice.
Put a wig on one of those chickens.
Oh. Like, I gotta say, the $7 million, some of the practical effects of this movie, as off as they are, they're worth it. Like, yeah.
It's just worth it. Which is funny, because that's what you said, like, every time something happened, you were like, it's worth it.
To be fair, like, I'm gonna say $6 million of this went to this next scene, where we just blow up this gas station.
Yeah, so speaking of the next scene, they get Tommy loaded into a helicopter, while...
Yeah, they bring Alex back inside now for some reason. Yeah,
Alex and the rest of the family are back in the house. They've got two or three guys in there with them that are supposed to, I guess, kill them.
I guess?
Yeah, shoot them. Yeah. And yeah. They
leave it to just one guy.
Gus.
I
remember the old guy's name.
Yeah.
Because this is where Walt gets his big scene, because he's like, oh, I know how to do this, and like, throw the noisemaker over there, and then karate chop his hand, again, at which point I really wish the gun just went off. And blew up Alex's head.
Yeah, he like kicks his hand, he doesn't even...
Whatever he does.
Use his hand.
Yeah, he does something to try and knock him out, or like, knock the gun away, and it gives Alex a chance to beat this dude up.
Yeah. So he gets the gun away, and then he fires three shots into the air to make it seem like they all got shot.
Yep.
Even though this dude's not coming out. And we get everyone in the helicopter, and what happens next?
So, one dude goes up to the head goon to tell him something, and like,
to tell him that Gus isn't coming out.
He like, taps him, and the guy goes, don't you ever touch me! Like,
it's just so out of nowhere.
It's
so
crazy. It's just random.
I thought it was like, ad-libbed for a minute. That can't possibly be in the script.
It probably
was.
There's
no reason for
probably
it.
Was ad-libbed.
Was that just like a super racist dude?
Yeah, like, I'm in my white linen, don't you fucking touch me.
Is that what it is? Like, maybe that dude, you know what? Here's what it is. Maybe that guy just got dressed, he just left wardrobe, he's in his nice white suit. This dude comes up, he's been handling that fake-ass gasoline this whole time, because he's been pouring it all around, so maybe he's coming up, he stinks like gas or whatever.
Maybe. Maybe what it was dude in the white saw the dude pick his nose. And off camera saw his nose and like saw him not wipe it. So I'm coming and was like, don't you ever touch me.
I'm thinking
saw me in ribs.
I'm thinking they've been filming this for several hours for several takes, and this dude has terrible sunburn on his back now. So the dude tapped him, he's just fucking don't you touch me.
He was really pale. That could be.
But anyway, yeah, the guy tells him, like, Gus hasn't come back yet. I'm going to go in after him. And he's just like, fuck Gus. Let's burn it anyway. The guy starts to go after him regardless.
Another reason why I think this shit was ad-lib was because dude he said it to was like, huh? Like, he was like legit shocked that came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
They're just like, all right, whoever's in the house still, just leave him. Let's go.
But yeah, this dude starts to go after him, but then the fat baby man, whoever this bald guy is just like, can I sit on fire? Can I sit on fire? I'm going to sit on fire. And so he does. And it just, the one guy that starts going back is like, oh shit! I'm like, runs back to the helicopter. And this whole place just fucking goes up.
Yeah, they must have hated the don't touch me, like, the guy that shouldn't be touching people.
They must have,
they hated him, because they set him on fire. Like,
oh, fire, is that you?
That was me, sorry.
Fuck, that's gross.
Damn.
Joe's not even here.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to fill the void.
Joe's here in spirit.
Yeah. We need to put Rob out in a field now. Yeah, damn.
With Brick.
Oh,
taste it. Fuck. Oh.
It's a Wendy's Frosty.
Oh, good. I'm in front of this van, like, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta just sit in it.
It's like a wall. Like, yeah, I'm okay.
It's time there to. It is. It's time to duel.
Oh, no.
I play my mirror wall trap card. I just cut your attack in half. So
certainly lowered my defenses.
So we're back at the Coliseum now. And now Tommy gets his time to shine, I guess.
I guess. I mean,
sort of.
I mean, like they greased him up, I guess, so he's
yeah.
A little shiny.
And so we've got we got Brakus. And his girlfriend. His girlfriend's starting to fall a little bit for Tommy.
A little bit. You can tell. She's checking him off.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
it's a bit awkward because I think the first thing she says is he's real interesting looking.
Yeah. She's like, I've never had Chinese before.
I'm Native American, bitch.
It's like, are you?
That's how it should have ended. When they walked out, like, she should have come down, like, grabbed his other arm and walked out with him.
Well, yeah, we totally left out the guys from the previous movie showing up.
Like, oh yeah, that's right.
Came
that's,
to the funeral and they held hands weirdly, and
yeah,
it doesn't really matter a lot though.
It really is a non-point, but. So, now Tommy has to go through all of the trials before he can fight Brakus. So this is what we get. There's a short training montage first, and then we just kind of go right into the trials, and this is pretty much the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Tommy fighting these three dudes. They each kind of got their own thing. First one's a boxer.
Yeah.
He goes down like a bitch.
Dude, so we get
sack of potatoes.
This boxer comes out. Ready? You want to take it, Brian?
No, you got it. You got it.
This boxer comes out. He's like throwing punches. Tommy just swings around and just snaps his leg in half. Just kicks him right in the knee.
Dude throws two punches. Tommy sidesteps and fucking knocks his knee out. And they sew it. Like, again, worth it.
Sweep the leg, Tommy.
Yep.
It just fucking crumples. Like,
I believe he breaks his arm too. Am I right?
No. This guy was his knee, and the guy falls down. So he punched him in the face, and the guy's like crying on the ground and holding his leg. His knee's fucking shattered. Okay.
Yeah, he's out. He's not doing
he's
anything.
Fucking done.
He's not doing anything.
The fight was 3 seconds.
Yeah. And Tommy's just like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
And he walks out.
And I love this because it starts with like several minutes of him, of Wayne Newton going like, do we think a martial artist can take down a boxer? Like, yeah, this is exactly why. Like, he's gonna swing at him, he's gonna duck out of the way and be like, you know what, take your leg out, now you can't do anything.
It's like, I guess, whatever. Does the boxer also have some sort of mixed martial arts training, or
nope.
He just knows how, just knows how to throw punches,
because
if that's all he's bringing to the table, I mean, this dude's like high class martial artist.
There are no rules, so like, if you're a boxer and that's your main thing, like, your whole lower half is fairly open. Because you're used to people not hitting below the belt.
Right, because I mean, there's rules in boxing. Yeah.
You're trained as a boxer.
So, along the same vein, the next guy is a wrestler. But not like professionally, he's like an Olympic Greco-Roman wrestler.
They even put him in this weird kilt dealy, you know?
He was wearing like a gladiator skirt.
Yeah.
But like, he comes out and he's also just kind of throwing punches. He's not really doing
it made no sense for like his style, supposedly.
Yeah, he seemed like. he did, like, he lasted a little longer than the boxer, yeah. And I thought that didn't really work, because he was moving, like, a lot slower.
Right.
He didn't seem as agile as the boxer.
He's not, but I think that was the whole thing, like, he's not more agile, but he is just thicker, and he'd take a hit better.
Yeah,
he did have
more mass, yeah.
So like, he just, he was able to take a few hits before he actually had to stop.
Yeah, but he still got his ass handed to him.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
And then finally, we get...
Ponytail.
Whip hair, yeah.
Yeah.
We get...
Willow Smith.
Wow, Tony. All right. Enough. Okay, I got it. I got you.
Well, I don't get it.
He whips his hair back and forth. Never mind. It's okay.
That was Will Smith?
No, Willow Smith.
Willow Smith.
His daughter.
Oh.
Anyway. So... this dude comes out.
So he didn't pass any... He didn't pass any good genes onto his kids.
That's that money, though. They rich.
Yeah.
They rich as fuck.
I guess they don't have to be good actors if they got money anyway, right?
I got some sweet jeans that they're wearing, and that's the best thing they're going
to
get.
Welcome to After Earth.
this dude comes out. It's like Indiana Jones when he's, you know, he's flipping these nunchucks around. He's really making a show of it. And then immediately just drops him and does it like a jumpy flip deal at him.
Well, that's right. Tommy. That's how he takes down the wrestler, right? Remember, he does that, like,
somersault
thing? Or cartwheel?
Cartwheel kick, yeah.
Yeah, cartwheel kick to the face, right?
Okay, that's all. Yeah, so, hair guy.
Like, this was the longest of the three fights.
Yeah.
which, I mean, I guess it was just, like, soften him up for them. Ultimately, this is all to soften him up before the bad guy fight right. The end.
But this is also so we can get the revenge on the guy who killed his father, uncle, brother.
Well, what for him, it's he has to. He literally, they won't let him leave.
Well, yeah.
They're leading him in, like, they have, like, 12 guards with guns that lead him into the ring. So, like, yeah, he has to do this. But, yeah, this guy happens to be the one that got the double tap on James.
Yeah. They're trying to pad out the runtime a little bit, because they already spent $6.8 million out of their $7 on that explosion.
Yeah.
A couple seasons ago, so.
This guy, you know, he's putting up a good fight. Things start getting hairy, so he lets down his hair. And see what I did there? He's got, like, a little dealy tied into his ponytail, so he's... he's just whipping that around, so, like, whenever he gets close, he's like, you know, here's a couple swings at you, plus my hair is gonna hit you in the face. And, like, he still kinda is fighting him back fairly well. This guy then grabs the nunchucks again, starts coming after him with those.
Yeah.
How does he finally deal with this dude?
I don't remember.
He just beats him up. Like, because he gets hit a few times with the nunchucks, but ultimately he just beats him up.
Well, no, he breaks his arm, point, too, doesn't
he?
Yeah,
he snaps his arm.
He does his standard, I'm going to break your arm and then sit on your chest and punch you in the face.
Oh, yeah, he punches the crap out of this dude.
I thought he did more than that, but that might have been it.
And he doesn't kill him? I think he kills him.
No, he's punching him in the face just like, I mean, he's doing it.
Yeah, you see the flashes of the shots as he's doing it.
But I don't think he actually kills him.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he does, like, snap his arm, like, with that weird...
Sure does.
That weird special effect where, like, they show, like, his arm, like, bent in half. Like, it wasn't as gruesome as the first arm he broke, or the kneecap, but it's still, like...
First one was... that's why, because it catches you off guard. So you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
You see this dude's arm crumple like a Coke can. You're just like, okay.
Oh, we're doing this now.
And so it's main event time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, at this point, though, Alex has orchestrated a counter response. He's, like, put on his nice clean suit that he rented.
His counter response is just, I'm going to get more guys and just bust into this place again.
Yeah, well, ultimately, it has no bearing on the end of the movie.
Nope.
It really, like, it doesn't matter.
It
causes a slight distraction at one point. At the right time or whatever, but it's really unnecessary.
He shows up at the end so that when Hulk Hogan's on the ground, he could be the crowd cheering so Hulk could hear it and get back up.
Yeah,
much. That's his role in this pretty movie.
I love you, Spartacus.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude with the eye patch, he's in there with his friends.
Yeah, dude, we didn't even talk about the dude with the eye patch, like, at all.
Yeah, no.
But he's there.
Yeah, he was
in the first movie.
He's extra muscle to help fight their way through this place.
Yeah.
They beat up a bunch of dudes so they can get to the Coliseum, this hidden fighting arena.
be able. So while they're fighting on the outside, Tommy's the inside fighting, doing pretty well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Tommy's holding his own.
Well, like, and again, here we have the fight starts, and Brakkus is like, I've been waiting a long time for this. And you even said at the time, like, it's been 3 days.
Like 3 days.
Yeah. Fucking whatever.
Well, it has to have been longer than that because his scar has, like, completely healed
Okay, fine. But also, if you waited so long, why did you make him fight the other three dudes first? You didn't do that with Crockett or whatever.
Crockett.
What's his name?
Travis.
Travis.
Because Travis beat one dude guy. And then threw shade in the dressing room.
This dude cut
room,
his face!
The champagne room.
Yeah. This guy cut his face! Yeah. That doesn't give you an automatic, you know,
well, here's the thing. So this Travis was just a cocky dude who beat one other dude and thought he could take on the world.
America.
This dude actually, like, posed a threat.
Well, I understand.
So he needed to soften him up.
Yeah, I understand the reality. It's the difference of making him weaker.
It was a day had passed between the first three fights and this one. So I don't really know what the deal is there.
I didn't even... Okay.
But yeah, like, it's... One thing that's weird about this, I don't think that Travis knew the ultimate round was life or death. I don't think he knew that.
No,
I don't think so.
Like, I don't think anyone knows that except for the people that watch it. Like,
yeah.
Because they even close off the outer viewing area.
Yeah.
And only VIP see the life or death part of the fight. So I bet if Travis knew that it was life or death, he wouldn't have done it.
No. Or at the very least, he would have made sure, like, somebody was there to back him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, so we had our little training montage. Now it's time to start as proper. And, like, fucking Tommy's holding his own.
Yeah, he knocks him down a couple times.
Yeah, a couple times. Like,
sure, yeah.
And at one point, he legit has the upper hand. Like there are points where he should be stopping dudes' balls. Like, bah! Like, take that big motherfucker. Like, bah! Like, fight's over.
Yeah.
But for some dumbass reason, they stop fighting when the door opens and the two, like, showgirls come out with giant sticks.
Sticks. And well, because, like, it's stick time, right?
But, like, in my head, I'm like, there's no fucking rules. Right. Tommy, don't fucking stop beating his ass. Like, right. Don't fucking stop. There's no fucking rules.
For that matter, grab both those sticks out of their hand and keep beating them.
Yeah.
So I decided it was this reason.
Okay.
Tommy didn't want to accidentally hurt the girls.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I see where you're going with that.
That's legitimately all I got. All
right, then.
Yeah, I see where you were going, where you stand on that one, but, like, I'm pretty sure if he just continued to sit on this dude's chest and punch his face in, those girls would have kept back.
I
should have given him the clues.
He might have. We don't know.
They didn't have it in the budget.
I would have been punching this dude in the face, right? Stomping his balls, and I would have yelled, "Put him on the ground and get the fuck out," and they kept punching his dude's face.
Put him on the glass! Just hang out there for a moment.
Like, fuck this dude. Like, gosh. You killed my friend. You tried to shoot my other friend and his kid. Bah!
The kid couldn't even break the brick.
Yeah, he's disappointed. at least you could go through with it next time.
Hey, Walt, this is how you break something with your fist.
Here's the secret. His was the only one that was pre-cut.
Makes me that much more shitty.
He just sucks.
Well, his name is Walt. All right, so...
Young Walter White.
That would explain so much. So, this kid is traumatized for life. Anyway, so Alex faces off against one of the don't touch me dude in the control booth or whatever.
Yeah, well, you don't get to see it, so it may as well not even happen.
Yeah, but he throws him through a window, which leads out onto this Coliseum floor, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is like during stick time. Brakkus is just better at stick time than Tommy is, so he's fucking beating his ass.
Because, like, he had more than a day of training.
He's beating Tommy's ass with sticks. I'm like, Tommy, you fucked up, Tommy. You should have
waited for stick time.
Fuck. And at this point, like, he has Tommy, like dead to rights, whatever. And, like, that's when, like, dude crashes into the window.
Yeah.
Which is just enough distraction. Tommy gets that tiger fist right in fucker's nutsack.
Yep.
It's like, blah! You know, bell ring and everything. It's and like,
it gives Brakkus just enough time to put a Richard Nixon rubber face mask over his own face.
This is the number one part of the face that pays off for me. This is so out of place. They took a legit mask of this dude Brackus and put it on a dummy's head and let Tommy kick the shit out of it. Like, it was greased up and oily and shiny as shit. Like
it's just... It was, yeah, it goes, I mean, it kind of works because it goes by real fast. But I honestly, I had a moment where, like, if I can only imagine if I had seen this when I was even younger, this probably would have fucked me up for life. Because I had that moment where it was just like, did he break his face? Like, what the fuck just happened?
It looked like it was made of that ballistic gel that the Mythbusters use all the time. It was like jello.
It was almost like that, you know, the slow motion shot where they go really slow and you see someone get punched in the face and you see all the wobbling.
It wasn't slow motion. They knew they couldn't get away with it.
Yes, that. Plus, it was, but it would also be one of those punch shots in slow mo if, like, all his skin kind of, like, left his muscles for a moment and twisted on his face for a second. Man. It's fucking weird.
But it's so out of place, but so quick.
Yeah. He started separating back into Dolph Lundgren and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. The fusion dance didn't hold correctly.
Yeah, actually, I mentioned Pee Wee's Big Adventure before, but it's kind of like that Large Marge moment where just out of nowhere, exclamation.
Oh, man.
So he's down at this point. Brackus is down.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, kill him, boo! And they're like, Tommy's like, I'm not doing that.
I'm not that guy.
Yeah, he looks him in the face and he says, stay down and stay alive.
Yeah. And he does. Until,
for a moment,
stupid Alex, who has no reason to even be in this movie, shows up in the ring and he's like, I'm here to be a distraction. Huh. Oh, behind you.
Tommy, watch out.
Yeah, he shows up just in time to go, Tommy, behind you. And we see the dude came back up. Is he got a knife or is he trying to attack him? Like, all right. It looked like he had something in his hand. I couldn't tell. But yeah, he does some moves on him. He spins him around. He gets him on his shoulder and just...
It looks like he's going to give him the racer's edge. But so he just drops down and snaps his neck.
Shoulder presses his neck.
Yeah.
Like, and the way they film it, you can like actually see his soul like floating out of his mouth. You see his eyes die. So
it's the end of him.
That's the end of him. Wayne Newton comes back out and he's like, you won on who wants to beat a millionaire. So
yeah,
you
win. The Coliseum is now yours. And he's like, everybody, you're going to see a lot more of this guy. What do you have to say for yourself? And Tommy's like, fuck you. This place is closed. I'm out.
The Coliseum is closed. Mic drop.
Yeah.
Legit mic drop.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, as they're leaving, Alex just pulls... We skipped over the most dangerous freaking light switch that they have. Because every time they turn it on, there's a ton of sparks and shit. But, yeah, Alex just grabs this light switch, he pulls it down, and cut to black. And that's it. Yeah. That's best of the best, too. From 1993. Okay, so on RottenTomatoes.com... Critics gave this a total score of 11%. Audience gave this a score of 46%, which I can sadly say actually dropped by a point during the course of this week when I was looking this stuff up.
Dropped during the course of our recording the podcast.
It might have. That is what critics and audiences thought of this on Rotten Tomatoes. But what is your personal thoughts, opinions, and recommendations on this, Rob?
I enjoyed the movie. The biggest thing for me is that it's definitely too long. It's like bloated more than it has to be, but it's still very watchable. It's still very entertaining. The fights are cool for the most part, and watching that kid fail his exam was basically worth the price of admission by itself. So yeah, I'm gonna recommend it. It's not a good. It's definitely the so bad it's good category.
All right, Brian.
Yeah, I pretty much have to mirror what Rob said. Like a lot of stuff in this movie is not necessary, and this is like nothing like the first movie. Well, I mean it is because the first movie had a bunch of unnecessary shit in it too. But the whole like the stakes are higher in this one, which. You know, that's the usual sequel failure is like, they try to do too much over the top for it. But it was still, like, entertaining, but it's not that great. I mean, overall, it ain't a great movie. So don't, like, go into this thinking, hey, you see this amazing piece of artwork.
It's, well, I think you just heard us talk about it.
It's not. But, I mean, it's worth the watch. Put it on the background. Like, you know, just, I'd watch it again. Like, so, I'll give it a go ahead and recommend. It is, but it's not a good movie. Like, don't
come with it. I don't think anyone's getting that confused, Brian.
The 11% means not anybody was fooled.
The 11% critic wise makes total fucking sense, because, like, there's just shit that doesn't flow right and shit that's just not necessary. And the critic would eat that shit up, like, you know, get rid of that shit. But so that makes sense. The 40-something% is like us. You know, how I'm feeling one day, I'll watch this shit.
And that's the thing, like, one thing to definitely say about this movie, it feels like an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Like, it totally feels like it. Even though it came out in the 90s, it was made in the 90s. Everything about it says 80s movie. And I think probably the critics at that point were looking at it as a 90s movie. And audiences looking at it are like, this reminds me of 80s movies. This is pretty fun.
Maybe.
But that's what I liked about it, like, that it felt like we were watching an 80s movie, because 90s movies, whoo.
I think it's, the critic score is low because as a film, this is not very good. Like, you're not learning much. There aren't good story arcs or anything like that. But as an entertaining movie, it works just fine. Like, you said it perfectly with the so bad it's good kind of category. Like, this would be a great drunken party movie or something like that, for sure. Even by yourself, you just got a lazy day and, you know, looking for something entertaining, but you don't have to pay a whole lot of attention. This is just fine. It works just great. So, it's a recommend for me. It's enjoyable. It's all it needs to be.
Joe, what'd you think?
All right. I'll take that as a yes, recommend. All right, speaking of Joe, what do we have up next on the docket, Brian?
All right, so it is time for that D20 of Fate, where we roll a die to see what comes up next. And it is Joe's turn. Joe's not with us this week physically, but he was able to call into our new number. We have a phone number, people. Holla, phone number. Call him. 203-787-8946. That's where you can call in, leave us some feedback, you know, ask some questions, give us reviews, whatever, all that good stuff. But Joe called in to make his roll, and let's see what he got.
Don't fail us, Joe.
All right, let's listen to what Joe had to say.
Hey, everyone, it's Joe, and it's my turn to roll, so here we go. That is a one. Okay, let me look up the critical failure list. Tempting choices here, but wow. Let's go for the worst animated movie ever. Let's watch Food Fight. All right, see you later, everyone. Sorry about that.
Damn it, Joe! What did I tell you?
Fuck you, Joe.
You know you're going to be back in time for that one.
Yeah, he's coming. And he's probably going to have to watch it by himself. So, I mean, figure that out.
Good or luck. With Brick.
Oh, man.
Hey, officially a couple of you.
Couple of Yahoos.
Start shipping them, everybody.
Yahoo Serious.
Send in your drawings.
So we're going to watch Food Fight next week.
After that miserable announcement, what do you have for us, Rob?
Well, guys, we want to thank you so very much for listening. And we ask you kindly, if you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, or you can get us via Stitcher on all of your mobile devices. We have an email. You should email us with any questions, comments, or fun stories at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. That's the number 4ampodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Twitter and a Tumblr at 4ampodcast. And a Instagram? No.
Yeah?
4AM Podcast?
There'll be content on it one day.
As well. And you can reach us via our Google Voice phone number at 203-787-8946. And tell us about your favorite tournament-based movie. Tournament-based movie.
I mean, we already watched Mortal Kombat. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And of course, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/4ampodcast. You can find all our episodes listed there, as well as fun things like our question of the week. And we usually post just some fun stuff that we find along the way. But that's pretty much all I have for the announcements. Just please, if you listen to the show, leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help get us spread to your friends and family and friends and neighbors and things like that, and just spreads the word about the show.
Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Yeah, do it, please.
Indeed. All right, so that's it for now. We'll see you next week with Food Fight.
Deuces.
So excited. Thanks for listening, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Cause I'm peeing on purpose, my pee-pee stays on the surface, my toilet don't wanna flush, it's making all my friends nervous.
Oh shoot, MC Rob A.
That's it. Driving sick beats.
Wear our buffalo hats.
Moose knuckles.
Royal Order Moose Knuckle. Fuck! My bad.